We're still at the very beginning of the retreat and, focusing more on meditation. And I thought I would read from Ajahn Yanadamo's book called Walking Meditation, since we'll be doing lots of that formal practice here. This was a compilation of two talks that he gave, the first one in 1992 and the second one in 2002. So, in this discourse, I want to focus on the nuts and bolts of walking meditation. I shall address the how, when, where, and why of this form of meditation. I intend this discourse to include both practical instructions for the technical aspect of walking meditation and instructions for creating the qualities of mind that lead to concentration, insight, and wisdom through the physical activity of walking meditation. The Buddha stressed developing meditation in the four main postures of the body: standing, sitting, lying down, and walking. He exhorted us to be mindful of all these postures, to create a clear awareness and recollection of what we are doing while we are in any particular posture. If you read about the lives of the monks and nuns of the time of the Buddha, you will see that many attained the stages of enlightenment while on the walking meditation path. Walking meditation is an activity in which one can focus and concentrate the mind or develop investigative knowledge and wisdom. Some people find that they're actually drawn to walking meditation because they find it easier and more natural than sitting meditation. When they sit, they feel dull or tense, or they're easily distracted. Their mind doesn't calm down. If this is the case with you, don't just persevere. Do something new. Try a change of posture. Do something different. Experiment with standing meditation, or try walking meditation. This new meditation posture may give you some other skillful means of applying the mind. All of the four postures of meditation are just techniques, methods for developing and training the mind. Try and develop walking meditation. You may start to see the benefits of it. The forest meditation tradition of Northeast Thailand, there's a great emphasis on walking meditation. Many monks will walk for long hours as a way of developing concentration. The late Ajahn Singtong used to do so much walking meditation that he would make a rut in his walking path. The sandy path that he used for walking meditation would actually become hollow because he would walk so many hours a day, sometimes up to 15 or more hours a day. Another monk, Ajahn Kumdun, walked meditation so much that he wouldn't bother to go into his hut at night. When he became really tired after walking meditation all day and late into the night, he would lie down right there on the meditation path and use his fist as a pillow. He would go to sleep with mindfulness, having made a determination to get up the moment he woke. As soon as he woke up, he would start walking again. He basically lived on his walking meditation path. Ajahn Kumdun was quick to attain the results of his practice. In the West, there's not such an emphasis on practice of walking meditation. Thus, I would like to describe the process and recommend it to you to complement your sitting practice. These instructions will hopefully help you develop your repertoire of meditation techniques in both formal meditation and in your daily life. As so much of life is taken up with the activity of walking, if you know how to apply awareness to that, then even simply walking about in your house can become a meditation exercise. Then he lists five benefits of walking meditation, which I'll just read in kind of brief. But the first one is developing endurance for walking distances, good for striving, good for health, good for digestion, and good for sustaining concentration. And then with good for striving, he said, Striving, especially to overcome drowsiness, is the second benefit. While practicing sitting meditation, meditators may find that they tend to slip into tranquil states. But if they are a bit too tranquil, without awareness, then they may start nodding or snoring. Time goes quickly, but they don't have any clarity or awareness, even though it feels peaceful. Without mindfulness and awareness, meditation can turn into dullness because it has been overcome by sloth and torpor. Developing walking meditation can counteract this tendency. Then, for sustaining concentration. The fifth benefit of walking meditation is that the concentration that arises out of walking meditation sustains itself for a long time. The walking posture is actually quite a coarse meditative posture compared to sitting. While sitting, it's easy to maintain one's posture. We have our eyes closed, so there's no visual sense stimuli, and we're not engaged in any bodily movement. So sitting, in comparison to walking, is a more refined posture in terms of the activities involved. The same is true for standing and lying down, because there's no movement taking place. While we are walking, there are a lot of sensory input. We are looking where we're going, thus there's the visual input, and also there is the sensory input from the movement of the body. Therefore, if we can concentrate the mind while walking and receiving all these sensory stimuli, then when we change from that posture to a more refined one, concentration becomes easier to maintain. That is, when we sit down, the strength of mind and power of that concentration carries over easily into a more refined posture. Whereas, if one has only developed concentration in the sitting posture, when one gets up from that posture and begins coarse bodily movements like walking, it's harder to maintain that state of concentration. This is because one is moving from a refined to a coarse state. So walking meditation can help to develop strength and clarity of mind and a concentration that can carry over into less active meditation postures. Subtitle, Preparing for Walking Meditation, Finding a Suitable Place. The place where the Lord Buddha did walking meditation at Bodh Gaya after his enlightenment still exists to this day. His walking path was 17 steps long. These days, the forest monks tend to make their walking paths much longer. They can be up to 30 steps long. The beginner may find 30 paces a bit too long for them because their mindfulness is not yet developed. By the time they get to the end of the path, the mind may have been, quote-unquote, around the world and back. Remember, walking is a stimulating posture, and initially, the mind tends to wander a lot. It is usually better for beginners to start with a shorter path. 15 paces would be a good length. If you're going to walk meditation outdoors, find a secluded place where you won't be distracted or disturbed. It is good to find a walking path that is slightly enclosed. It can be a distraction to walk in an open area where there is a view, as you may find that the mind is drawn out to the scenery. An enclosed area is especially suitable for speculative personalities who like to think a lot. It helps to calm the mind down. If the path is closed in, it tends to bring the mind inwards, into oneself, and towards peace. Preparing the body and mind. The practice, firstly, is to develop samadhi, and that takes focused effort. The Pali word samadhi means focusing the mind, developing the mind to one-pointedness by gradual degrees of mindfulness and concentration. To focus the mind, one has to be diligent and determined. This firstly requires a degree of physical as well as mental composure. One begins composing oneself by clasping the hands in front. Composing the body helps to compose the mind. Having thus composed the body, one should then stand still and bring awareness and attention to the body. Then raise one's hands together in Anjali, a gesture of respect. With one's eyes shut, reflect on the qualities of the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. You can contemplate having taken refuge in the Buddha, on the wise one, on he who knows and sees, the awakened one, the fully enlightened one. Reflect in your heart on the qualities of the Buddha. Then recollect the Dhamma, the truth that you are striving to realize and cultivate on this walking meditation path. Finally, bring to mind the Sangha, especially those fully enlightened ones who have realized the truth by cultivating meditation. Then bring the hands down in front of you and make a mental determination of how long you're going to walk meditation, be it a half hour, 1 hour, or more. However long you determine to walk, stick to it. In this manner, you are nurturing the mind at the initial stage of meditation with zest, inspiration, and confidence. It's important to remember to keep the eyes downcast about a meter and a half in front, about 5 feet. Don't be looking around distracted by this or that. Keep awareness on the feelings at the soles of the feet, and in this way, you develop more refined attention and clear knowing of walking while walking. And then third chapter, basics of walking meditation and choosing an object. And I'm not going to read, he lists quite a few, but I'll just read one or two of the most common ones. The Buddha taught 40 different meditation objects, many of which can be used on the walking meditation path. However, some are more suitable than others. I'll discuss a number of these meditation objects here, beginning with the most commonly used. Awareness of the walking posture. In this method, while walking, place all your attention at the soles of your feet, on the sensations and feelings as they arise and pass away. As you begin walking, the feeling will change. As the foot is lifted and comes down again into contact with the path, a new feeling arises. Be aware of that sensation, as it is felt throughout the sole of the foot. Again, as the foot lifts, mentally note that new feeling as it arises. When you lift each foot and place it down, know the sensations felt. At each new step, certain new feelings and experiences and old feelings cease. There should be knowing with mindfulness. With each step, there's a new feeling experienced. Feeling arising, feeling passing away. Feeling arising, feeling passing away. With this method, we place mindfulness on the feeling of walking itself, on each step taken, on the Vedana, pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral sensations. We are aware of whatever type of Vedana arises in the soles of the foot. When we stand, there is a sensation, a feeling of the contact with the ground. This contact can produce pain, heat, or other sensations. We place our initial attention on those feelings, knowing them fully. When raising the foot to take a step, the feeling changes as soon as the foot loses contact with the ground. When we place the foot down again, a new feeling arises as the foot comes into contact with the ground. As we walk, feelings are constantly changing and arising anew. With mindfulness, note this arising and pass away of feeling that the soles of the foot lift off and touch the ground. In this way, we are keeping our full attention just on the sensations that arise through walking. Have you ever really noticed before the feeling of the feet as you are walking? They happen every time we walk, but we tend not to notice these subtle things in life. When we walk, our mind tends to be somewhere else. Walking meditation is a way of simplifying what we're doing when we're doing it. We're bringing the mind to the here and now, being one with walking when walking. We are simplifying everything, quieting the mind by just knowing feelings as it's arising and passing away. How fast should you walk? Ajahn Chah recommended walking naturally, not too slow or too fast. If you walk fast, you might find it very difficult to concentrate on the sensations of feelings arising and passing away. You may need to slow down a bit. On the other hand, some people may need actually to speed up. It depends on the person. You have to find your own pace, whatever works for you. You can begin slowly at first, then gradually come to your natural pace. If your mindfulness is weak, meaning your mind wanders a lot, then walk very slowly until you can stay with the present moment on each step. Start by establishing mindfulness at the beginning of the path. When you arrive at the middle of the path, then mentally ask yourself, where is my mind? Is it on the feelings of the soles of the feet? Am I knowing the contact here and now at this present moment? If the mind has wandered off, then bring it back to the sensations at the feet again and continue walking. When you get to the end of the path, turn slowly around and reestablish your mindfulness. Where's the mind? Does it know the feelings at the soles of the feet, or has it wandered off? The mind tends to wander elsewhere, establishing thoughts of anxiety, fear, happiness, sorrow, worries, doubts, pleasures, frustrations, all the other myriad thoughts that can possibly arise. If mindfulness of the meditation object is not present, reestablish it first, and then start walking back. Reestablishing the mind on the simple act of walking, and then begin to walk back to the other end of the path. When you get to the middle of the path, you should note, I am now at the middle of the path, and check again to see if the mind is with its object. Then, once you arrive at the end of the path, mentally note, where's the mind? In this way, you walk back and forth mindfully, aware of the feelings arising and passing away. While walking, constantly reestablish your mindfulness, pulling the mind back, drawing the mind inwards, becoming aware, knowing the feeling at each moment as it is arising and passing away. As we sustain mindfulness on the sensations and feelings at the soles of the feet, we will notice that the mind gets less distracted. The mind is less inclined to go out to things that are happening around us. We become calmer. The mind will become tranquil as it settles down. Once the mind becomes calm and tranquil, then you'll find that the walking posture becomes You may find that the walking posture becomes too coarse an activity for this tranquility of mind. You will just want to be still. So stop and stand and allow the mind to experience this calm and tranquility. This is known as paucity. It is one of the factors of enlightenment. If while walking the mind becomes very refined, you might find that it's actually impossible to continue. Walking involves the mental volition to move, and your mind may be too focused on the meditation object for that. So stop on the walking meditation path and continue the practice of standing meditation. Meditation is about the work of the mind, not about any particular posture. The physical posture is just a convenient means to enhance the work of the mind. Concentration and control and tranquility work together with mindfulness. Combined with the focus of energy, investigation of Dhamma, joy, and equanimity, these are seven factors of enlightenment, then, in meditation, the mind is tranquil. Then, because of that tranquility, there will arise a sense of joy, rapture, and bliss. The Buddha said that the bliss of peace is the highest happiness, and a concentrated mind experiences that peace. This peace can be experienced in our lives. Having developed the practice of walking meditation in a formal context, then, when we are walking around in our daily lives, going to the shops, walking from one room to another, or even walking to the bathroom, we can use this activity of walking as meditation. We can be aware just of walking, simply being with what that process. Our minds can be still and peaceful. This is a way of developing concentration and equanimity in our daily lives. Then from sitting meditation to walking to the walking path. If while doing sitting meditation, the mind becomes tranquil with a certain meditation object, then use that same object in walking meditation. He goes on a little bit more about that. And then I'll read one paragraph here about using a mantra. If while walking meditation, you find that you're getting drowsy, then activate the mind rather than calming it, using a mantra so that it becomes more focused and aware. Using a mantra like Budo, repeating the word quietly to yourself over and over again. If the mind still wanders, then start saying Budo very quickly and walk up and down very fast. As you walk, recite Budo, Budo, Budo. In this way, your mind can become focused very quickly. Then he goes over some other contemplations of investigating impermanence, recollection of generosity and virtue, recollection of the nature of the body, contemplating the way things are. And so I'll end with his wise use of contemplation. There are so many meditation objects in the Buddhist repertoire of meditation. Your meditation object should be chosen carefully. Select a meditation object that stimulates the mind when the mind needs stimulating, or pacifies the mind when the mind needs calming. But a few words of caution are needed when using these contemplations on the walking meditation path, so the mind doesn't go into speculative thought and drift off. This is very easy to do. We have to be very mindful to note at the beginning of the path, the middle, and the end of the path, am I really with my meditation object, or am I thinking about something else? If you are walking up and down on a meditation path for 4 hours, but there's only mindful awareness for 1 minute during that 4 hours, you've only meditated for 1 minute. Remember, it's not how much meditation we do, it's the quality of that meditation that counts. If, while you're walking, the mind is wandering off elsewhere, then you're not meditating. You're not meditating in the sense of what the Buddha used the word meditation as bhavana or mental development. It's the quality of mind rather than the quantity of meditation that one does, which is the most important. And then conclusion. Throughout the history of Buddhism, many monks and nuns have attained insight, wisdom, enlightenment while on the walking meditation path through the investigation of the truths. In the forced monastic tradition, every aspect of our life is treated as an opportunity for meditation. Meditation is not just when seated on the meditation cushions. All the processes of life are opportunities for us to investigate reality. We strive to know things as they are, that things arise and pass away, to understand reality as it actually is. In this discussion of walking meditation, I hope to have given you something that will extend your repertoire of meditation techniques. Walking meditation is something that you can use in your daily life when you are active, as well as when you're doing formal meditation. Walking meditation can be another mode for developing the mind. Walking meditation gives work for the mind to do. If you have problems with drowsiness, just don't sit there nodding. Get up and put the mind to work. This is kamatana, the fundamental work of the mind. In the forest tradition, whenever a meditation teacher goes to a monastery, among the first places he heads are to the monks' meditation paths to see how many footprints are on them. And if these meditation paths are well worn, that is considered a sign of a good monastery. May your walking path be well worn. Ajahn Yanadamo. Okay, it was pretty straightforward and good instructions, so happy walking.